Today we are beginning chapters 10 and 11, and this is truly an amazing section as well. Have you ever thought about how when you pray that your prayers could be hindered in being answered? Have you ever wondered why you pray and sometimes it takes longer than you think for your answer to come? Well, you're going to find out how this can happen in this story today as we look at the archangel and Daniel's prayer and what happened when it was hindered in its response by the prince of Persia. It's a very interesting story, one you don't want to miss. Well, let's get started with today's lesson. We're in Daniel chapter 10. This is the lesson we've called the Archangel in the series, The Agents of Babylon. Well, welcome once again to the Book of Daniel. Here we are almost to the end of our discussion. As you know, we began this series called The Agents of Babylon with an attempt to teach the Book of Daniel as we wrap the truth of Daniel around the 12 key personalities of the book. Today, our personality is the Archangel, and we're going to be examining chapters 10 and 11. Very fascinating part of God's Word. We begin each of these messages, as we have in the past, with a brief story, a dramatic presentation that pictures what happens in the sections that we're going to teach. And when the story is finished, I will give you the scripture behind the story so you can see that the narrative that we've created comes right from the Word of God. We've added a few details that aren't in the scripture, but they're not in any way subtracting from the message of the scripture. They're given to help you understand what the passage means. So the dramatic part speaks to your heart, and the teaching part speaks both to your heart and to your mind, and hopefully to your life as well. Daniel could hardly contain his elation. Cyrus the Great had taken control of the Medo-Persian Empire, and soon afterward he issued a decree allowing the Jews to return to their own land. More than that, he promised them funds and assistance in rebuilding Jerusalem and the temple. It was a spectacular fulfillment of the promise Daniel had discovered in the scroll of Jeremiah. Daniel longed to join the patriots who would be returning, but he was now over 80 years old and too frail to endure the grueling journey. But as the months passed following the decree, Daniel's joy began to fade into deep concern. The Jews in Babylon hadn't responded to their release the way he had expected. He thought Cyrus's decree would inspire a surge of joy and praise from his people, and there would be a mass exodus of Jews back to the Promised Land. But those who chose to return to Israel were all too few. And to make matters worse, news from those who had returned to Jerusalem was not encouraging. The rebuilding of the city was going slowly, plagued by apathy, unsteady leadership, and attacks from hostile tribes that had settled in the vacated land. Some of the Jewish leaders had become discouraged, infecting the people with their own despair. And worst of all, in Daniel's mind, was the report that many of the returning Jews were marrying foreign wives. Daniel felt a weight of sadness settle over him. His people were headed down the same path that had led to their captivity in the first place. Daniel took leave from his duties in Cyrus' court and went into seclusion. He fasted and prayed every day, from morning till night, begging God to strengthen his people and give them the courage to accept the gift he offered, the restoration of their land and worship. The moment Daniel began to pray, the angel Gabriel answered a summons to appear before the throne of God. "Gabriel," the mighty voice thundered, "again my beloved servant Daniel is praying. He is in great anguish for his people and their trials and their discouragement. And once more I charge you to deliver my words of encouragement concerning the future of his people." Gabriel bowed before the throne. "As always, my Lord, it is my honor to do as you bid me." So the angel departed instantly. It took only a few minutes to traverse hundreds of light years, and in moments he pierced the earth's atmosphere and shot across continents and seas, flying westward over Asia and veering toward Babylon. Suddenly he came to a halt, looming above the nation of Persia. Directly in his path hovered a dark, hulking figure, essentially manlike, but with a hideous face and twisted limbs. The creature bulged with knotty muscles like those of an ox. Gabriel recognized the creature immediately, for he had encountered him before. It was the demonic prince that Satan had placed over the kingdom of Persia. Lurking on each side of this monstrous demon were two others, equally hideous in appearance. "Stand aside and let me pass," Gabriel demanded. "I will not," the demon rasped. "We know what is stirring between Babylon and Israel. Your God is trying to return the Jews to their homeland, to rebuild their holy city and their temple, and we know why. It's all part of his preparation for the coming of their Messiah. That will never happen. We will see to it. Turn back, Gabriel. No divine help will cross our borders." "You can't stop me," Gabriel replied. "Surely you remember our previous encounter." The chief demon of Persia erupted in croaking laughter. "Yes, but you won't best me again. As you can see, I now have help, two of the greatest warriors in all of Satan's forces." Gabriel drew his sword, which glowed like a live ember. He surged forward, and a titanic battle ensued. The angel's power was extraordinary, twice that of his demonic adversary. But facing the Persian monster and his two fiendish henchmen, he found himself evenly matched. Showers of sparks exploded like pulsars with each clash of their weapons, sending thunderous echoes through the heavens. When one of the demons grew tired, the Persian prince ordered him to drop out of the battle to recover, and in his absence, Gabriel was able to gain considerable ground. But when the refreshed demon rejoined the fray, Gabriel lost his advantage and ceded much of the ground he'd gained. This began a pattern in which the demons would rotate in and out of the battle, giving them the upper hand. And the battle raged for a day, a week, 2 weeks. After 3 weeks of continuous fighting, the warriors remained stalemated with no significant gains by either side. Michael the Archangel flew through space, returning from an assignment on the far side of the galaxy. He was headed for Earth, where his next mission had already been assigned. He was to locate and confront the demonic angel Satan had appointed as the Prince of Greece. Eager to perform his duty, he embarked on his assignment, shooting past planets, comets, and swirling galaxies. As Michael neared the region of the Earth's sun, a lesser angel suddenly appeared and intercepted him. Michael stopped and greeted the courier. "Ariel, what brings you here?" "Great Prince, I have a message from our Lord. He bids you to delay your assignment in Greece and fly immediately to the Persian border, where Gabriel is battling with the prince of that nation. He is charged to deliver a crucial message to God's servant Daniel, and he can't get through. You must join him in the battle, hold back the Persian demons, and allow Gabriel to proceed to Babylon." Without a moment's hesitation, Michael changed his course and shot toward Persia. Breaking through Earth's atmosphere, he approached the nation's borders, and immediately he saw flashes of light and heard thunderous clashes from the raging angelic battle. Gabriel felt the wind of Michael's appearance and saw a shadow of fear cross the faces of the three demons. Suddenly, the great Michael was beside him. Gabriel now felt new strength surge through his entire being. Help had come at last, and not just any help. Michael was the mightiest of God's angels, the one who had led heaven's armies against the rebellious Satan, the one who in a titanic duel had personally hurled the rebel leader out of the heavenly realms. The story of this great feat was told often among the angels. Michael drew his sword and engaged the battle. The three demons couldn't withstand the onslaught and stumbled backward under every blow the two mighty angels inflicted. In moments, they had driven the demons apart, opening a gap between them into Persia. It was all they needed. "Go on through, Gabriel," Michael cried. "Fly on to Daniel and complete the Lord's mission. These fiends will not follow you. I'll hold them here until you return." Gabriel did as the great archangel bid him. He burst through the opening and flew directly to Daniel in Babylon. It was the 21st day of Daniel's vigil of prayer and fasting. He left his room and strolled down to the Tigris River, praying as he walked. He lay face down on the riverbank, still immersed in prayer. After a few moments, he fell into a deep sleep, and as he slept, he sensed a towering presence looming above him and heard a mighty voice speak his name. He looked up to see the form of the magnificent angel Gabriel shining with the brightness of the sun. Daniel lay on his face, trembling, until the angel touched him, sending a surge of strength through his body. "Do not fear me, Daniel, dearly beloved of God, for the Lord of heaven has sent me to deliver a message of prophecy concerning times in the far future. Stand on your feet and hear." Daniel stood, and Gabriel explained to Daniel the reason for his delay. When Gabriel finished, he related to him every word that had come from the mouth of God before saying goodbye. "Now that I have completed my mission, I must return to the battle and help Michael overcome the Persian demons. We can't allow them to succeed in their attempt to thwart the restoration of God's people. I bid you farewell, Daniel, friend of God, and I call his blessings on you as you continue your long and faithful service to him." As Daniel watched in wonder, Gabriel vanished into the air. In seconds, the messenger angel was back at the battle site with his sword drawn. Gabriel joined his chief, and within moments, the three demons were reeling from the onslaught. Now on the defensive, their blows became feeble until finally they were using their swords merely as shields, unable to mount any offense at all. All at once, Michael's voice split the air. "Now, Gabriel." And Gabriel knew exactly what the command meant. They rushed forward together, raining blows on their opponents like mighty hammers. The demons turned and ran. Michael and Gabriel pursued, and with a flurry of lightning strokes, the three demons were hurled downward toward the abyss reserved for Satan and his angels. And that is the story. And yes, that story comes right from the scripture. And now we shall learn the scripture behind the story. Many scholars and commentators who have written on the book of Daniel have all but ignored the 10th chapter, treating it as incidental to the overall theme of the book. But the more I study Daniel, the more I believe chapter 10 provides the background necessary for understanding the entire prophetic message. Without a clear understanding of this chapter and its reference to demonic activity in the unseen world, the prophecies given in chapter 11, which span the history of the world from Daniel's time until the tribulation period, would be very difficult to comprehend. Although the archangel Michael remains in the background of the biblical narrative of Daniel 10, he is actually the unsung hero of the story. When we read the prophecies of Daniel 11, we are reading the very truths that Michael and the demonic prince fought over. And without Michael's intervention, we wouldn't have this section of the Bible, for Daniel never would have received it. So as we go through this chapter, let's remember how it all happened and what God did to provide it for us today. We begin Daniel 10 and the first 21 verses with what I have called the preparation for the vision. Daniel 10 takes place a few years after Cyrus, the king of Persia, gave the Jewish captives permission to return to their homeland and rebuild the temple. Daniel's first concern was that so few Babylonian Jews returned to Jerusalem. Ezra chapter 2 records that. The rest chose to remain in Babylon as aliens in a land of idolatry. And Daniel was also distressed over the plight of those brave pilgrims who had returned. John Walvoord records that the children of Israel had encountered great difficulty in getting settled in the land. And although the altar had been set up and the foundation of the temple laid, Ezra 4, the work had been suspended because of opposition by the people of the land. And all of this was of great concern to Daniel, for his primary purpose in encouraging the expedition had been the restoration of the temple as well as the city of Jerusalem. So notice the distress that preceded the vision, verses 1 through 3. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel. The message was true, but the appointed time was long. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food. No meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. The malaise of Daniel's people burdened him so deeply that he fasted for 3 weeks, mourning and praying for God to disclose his will for the nation. God answered his prayer with yet another vision, the 4th one recorded in the book of Daniel. It came to him during the 3rd year of Cyrus' reign over Persia. Daniel was now in his late 80s and had been a captive for more than 70 years. And that's the distress that preceded the vision. Notice now verses 4 through 9, the description that personified the vision. Daniel 4 reads, I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. As Daniel walked along the bank of the Tigris River with some of his friends, he was overcome by a vision of a glorious man from heaven. It is probable that this is Gabriel, the same angel who appeared to Daniel in chapters 8 and 9. One clue is that in chapter 9, Gabriel tells Daniel that he is greatly beloved, just as the angel does in this chapter in Daniel 10:11. Daniel's response to the heavenly vision is given in detail. The fasting and the mourning coupled with the vision left him with no strength, and he fell into a deep sleep with his face to the ground. We have seen the distress that preceded the vision and the description that personified it. Now notice the delay that postponed the vision. Verse 10. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. The angel told the overwhelmed Daniel not to fear and enabled him to stand so he would be fully capable of receiving the message that was about to be delivered. He told Daniel that from the moment he had begun to pray, his words had been heard in heaven. Someone has written, the answer that is delayed must never be interpreted as having been denied. Notice now the demon that prevented the vision in verses 20 and 21, also verse 13. The angel said to me, The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Then he said, Do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. When Gabriel left heaven to deliver God's answer to Daniel, Satan dispatched his own angel, the one responsible for the demonic control of Persia. He dispensed him to intercept that answer and to thwart the work of God. And when the two angels clashed, a titanic battle erupted, which continued to rage, believe it or not, for 3 whole weeks. The prince of Persia was obviously not a man, for no human could resist a messenger of God. This was one of Satan's demons. Satan ordered the prince of Persia to do whatever it took to keep God's plan in Persia from moving forward. This record makes it apparent that Satan assigns his demons geographically. It's probable that he assigns one demon prince to head the satanic activity of each principality or government on the face of the earth. If there is a demon assigned to Persia, there is most likely a demon assigned to the territories where you and I live. It's against this army of evil princes that we are in daily conflict. How was this battle with the prince of Persia finally won? Well, Gabriel tells Daniel that Michael, one of the chief princes of God, was sent to help him. Michael's name means, "Who is like God?" While Gabriel's role seems to be in announcing and preaching, Michael is usually involved in protecting and fighting. Michael is a royal champion of God's people, Israel. He's referred to three times in Daniel, and each time his tagline gets progressively more honorable and more personally identified with Israel. He is called one of the chief princes in Daniel 10:13, and then he's referred to as Michael, your prince, in Daniel 10:21. Finally, in Daniel 12:1, he's given the name Michael, the great prince who protects your people. What a progression of names, and what a reminder of the great care that God has taken for his people Israel. Isn't it important for us to remember that even now, with all that's happening in our world? God loves his people, Israel, and he will protect them. He will care for them. I'll see you right here tomorrow as we open our Bibles again to the book of Daniel.
This is Mark Larson. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series, Agents of Babylon, here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.